go to Exodus chapter 3. I appreciate the song the ladies sang. It really goes with the things that I feel like the Lord would have for us to consider here tonight. Earlier this year, at the beginning of the year, we picked a theme to kind of consider throughout the year, Psalm 46:10, and be still and know that I am God. And it's not my custom to try to necessarily preach along that theme throughout the entirety of the year, but I think it is important at times to, stop and consider some of the things that maybe the Lord would have us to remember about that. As we go through the course of the year, there's a lot of busyness. There are a lot of things that can take our attention away from the things that the Lord would have for us to consider. And so I think it's important to just take some time and be intentional about finding some stillness in life, some calm, some peace, and some quiet time alone with God. And so tonight, as we talk about this stillness, I want to just highlight in the next few moments one aspect of stillness that's really necessary and vital for our spiritual health. And that is the importance of stillness when it comes to listening and hearing the voice of God. And so, Exodus chapter 3 tonight, if you are there, would you stand with me as we read the scripture? Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says here, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, or of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And then look at verse number 4 and pay careful attention to these words. "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I." Thank you for standing. You can be seated tonight. Isn't it interesting, as we look at this particular account of the Lord meeting with Moses and speaking to Moses, there is a miraculous appearance of the Lord. He shows up in this burning bush, this consuming fire. The Bible tells us that our God is a consuming fire, but he's in the midst of this bush, and the bush is not consumed by the fire. This is a miraculous working of God. But what's fascinating to me about it is it was not the miraculous working of God that ultimately revealed to Moses the will of the Lord. It was simply the thing that caught Moses' attention. And God began to speak to him only when, the Bible says, Moses turned aside to see this great sight. Verse number 3, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside." Now, to turn aside has the implication of I'm changing direction. I'm going a particular direction. I have an agenda. I have a place to be. Now, you might think, well, what does Moses have to do? He's just leading a flock of sheep. I don't know. Maybe he's leading them out to water, leading them out to pasture. But he has some destination. He has somewhere he's leading them. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. But when God catches his attention on something, Moses says, I'm turning out of the way. I'm actually going to take a break from my plans, my agenda here, for an important purpose. I'm going to turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. I'm going to allow an interruption to my schedule, to my plans, and I'm going to turn out of the way. And the purpose of this is not so that I can accomplish some other task. The express purpose of turning aside is simply to observe, to consider, to set my mind on something, I'm turning aside to see. And then the Bible says in verse number 4 that when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him. It was after Moses allowed God to interrupt his schedule that God chose to speak. And as we look at this tonight, I really want to consider not just Moses, but I want to actually show you that there is a pattern in Scripture. And we won't take the time to turn to all of these places, but there's a pattern in Scripture of God speaking at a time when people are, number one, separated from other people. They're alone. And number two, when they're tuned in, when they're listening to what God has to say. We're here in Exodus 3. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. And I want to show you the first example of God's intention to communicate with mankind. Obviously, he's created man and woman. He's given them instruction. But we find these words in Genesis chapter 3 in verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And so here we have Adam and Eve. They have sinned. They've disobeyed God. But it says that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And then it says this, in the cool of the day. Can I ask you, when is the cool of the day? It's not noon. It's not 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not in the middle of the day in all the busyness of life. It's early in the morning when there's not much else going on. You know, from the time I was a young teenager or preteen, I had a real interest in hunting. My dad was never a hunter, but I kind of taught myself just because I loved the idea of it. And one of the things that I learned to really appreciate about hunting over the years was what I call, and I think other hunters will understand what I'm talking about, I love to get out in the deer stand before daylight and watch and listen as the woods wakes up. You start to see some light in the sky. It goes from stillness and maybe even hearing crickets and things like that to pretty soon you're hearing birds. You start to hear squirrels moving and things like that, because there's something about that cool of the day, right at the dawn of the day, as things are just coming to life. There's a certain calm, there's a certain peace, there's a certain stillness. And it's interesting to me that we have this example of the Lord God coming to meet with man. The voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. We go on a little bit further. Again, we won't look at all of these, but go with me if you would to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And we'll look at verse number 24. It says here, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And we could read on in that whole situation, but look down to verse number 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And so we have here Jacob wrestling with the Lord and pleading with him for a blessing, and the Lord changes his name there, that whole interaction that takes place. But the Lord saw fit to include these this information for us that this happened when Jacob was left alone. It was at a time when he was in solitude, a time where otherwise there would have been stillness. We started the message tonight in Exodus 3, Moses meeting with God in the wilderness. He led the flock to the backside of the desert. Nobody else out there but him and God. When God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments, it was on Mount Sinai where he had been 40 days and 40 nights alone with God. Jesus, before he began his earthly ministry, spent 40 days in the wilderness. John the Baptist, the Bible tells us, was in the wilderness until the days of his appearing unto Israel. And then, of course, we find the Apostle Paul, that after his salvation, after his conversion, he departed into Arabia. We don't know exactly how long he was there, but we know he was in the deserts of Arabia meeting with God. What I'm getting at here is that in the Bible, there is a pattern that God often speaks and works in the life of an individual when they are alone, when they are in a place where they can be still, when there are no distractions, when they are still in their in not only the environment around them, but even in their own self. God often speaks in moments of stillness. Now listen, if this is true, is it any wonder that Satan tries so hard to keep us constantly occupied? Constantly occupied, busy. I guarantee you talked to someone tonight and said these words, "How have you been?" And somebody replied, "Busy." You know why? Because we are. Life is that way. It's constant. It's nonstop. It's go, go, go. But then let's be honest. Even in the few moments that you might get, you know, from here to there, you get 2 minutes of downtime, of quiet time, and we have a way of trying to fill that time with something, don't we? I need to make this phone call. I need to respond to this text. Oh, let me scroll through social media and see what's going on there. I'm going to turn on the TV or turn on the radio, because in our minds we have to always be occupied, always doing something. But could it be that we're actually missing out on the opportunity to hear from God when He speaks? We read of Elijah in 1 Kings 19 and that whole interaction that he has with the Lord on in the mountain there after he's running from Jezebel and Ahab. And the Bible tells us there that the Lord came and there was a great earthquake and there was a wind that was incredibly strong and there was a fire and all of these things. But then it tells us in all of those things that the Lord was not in it. The Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the fire. The Lord was not in the wind. And then it says that, after the fire, a still small voice. That was how God chose to speak to him. I think sometimes we go looking for some great moving of God, you know, some revelation, some sign. And we're hoping that if God really wants to speak to me, I need God to speak to me, and I'm just hoping that He does something loud and bold and just kind of cuts through all the noise and gets my attention. And yet when I read in Scripture, that's often not how God speaks. It's often not, you're going through life, you're constantly busy, you're consumed with all these things, and God just, boom, thunders His voice and overwhelms everything else. Actually, just the opposite is often true, that in order for us to hear from God, we have to be willing to turn aside from some of those things, still ourselves and open our ears and listen to God. Can I ask you, are you listening for the voice of God? I have had so many Christians tell me, I just feel like God's not speaking. And I can tell you, I've been there. I know that feeling. I really do. But let me encourage you, turn aside and see. Quiet your soul. Quiet your heart. Cut out distractions. Find a quiet place. You know, one of the worst things that I've found for me is that oftentimes I set my alarm clock on my phone. And so what happens is my phone is the first thing I reach for in the morning. And I'll reach for my phone to turn off the alarm, and I'll see an email or a text message or a missed call. You know what happens? My mind all of a sudden is consumed. And once that starts, for me, maybe you're not this way. For me, once that starts, it's hard to turn that off. It's like the day starts going and gets busy, and it's hard for me to still myself before the Lord and just listen. But God often speaks in stillness. So there's this pattern of stillness. And then I would like to remind you as well that there's a call in Scripture to meditation. Meditation. Somehow we've lost the meaning of this word in our culture. People think of meditation as this kind of, this sort of mystical thing that you do, maybe in terms of some kind of practice like yoga or something like that. You know, there's this mindfulness where you kind of escape the world but that's not what the Bible's talking about when it uses the word meditate or meditation. To meditate means to think on something. And it actually means to intentionally think on something. How often do you think on things intentionally? A lot of times we think on things unintentionally. It's whatever comes into our minds. It's whatever someone tells us. It's the headlines of the day. It's the things we're stressed about. It's the things we're worrying about. But we're not often in control of what we're thinking about. We're just thinking as thoughts come. But to meditate is actually to be intentional in our thought. And the word meditate or meditation appears 20 times in the Bible. 18 of those times are positive. They are either a direct commandment to meditate, or they are an expression of or an example of someone who is pleasing God with their thought life, in their love and their desires, in the things that they are thinking on. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse number 8, you probably know it. The Lord said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." In other words, intentionally think on these things. What things? The Scriptures. The Word of God. Meditate in it. Of course, Psalm 1 and verse 2, "But his delight, the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Thinking on the Word of God. If you were to go through and read each of the instances of the command to meditate, or the expression, for instance, of a psalmist to say, "I am meditating on these things," here's what you would find. There are times that we are told that we are to meditate on the Word of God. There are times that we are told to meditate on God Himself. There are times that we are told to meditate on His works. Now think about this. How different would your life be if you every day made a specific point of taking some time, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and you said, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to meditate. I'm just going to think on the Word of God." I'm going to take a verse or a passage of scripture, maybe something I have memorized, maybe something I read in my Bible this morning, and I'm just going to think about it. I'm going to think about what exactly it means and how it applies and why God would say this, and I'm just going to think on it. And then I'm going to take some time, just maybe a few minutes, maybe 5, 10 minutes. And I'm just going to think about God and who He is. By the way, when you read in the Bible of all the times it talks about praising the Lord, do you know that one of the reasons that we need to praise the Lord is because we're reminding ourselves of who He is? I'm just going to take a few minutes and think about the works of God, all the things that God has done, all the things God has done in the earth for humanity, all the things God did for the nation of Israel, all the things God has done for His people, all the things that God has done for our church, all the things that God has done for my family, all the things that God has done for me. Now, if you would do that every day, meditate on His Word, meditate on His person, and meditate on His works, how different would your life look? I dare say for a lot of us, we'd have a lot less stress, a lot less worry, a lot less anxiety. And we would probably find that our ears would be more open to His voice. I was going through one of those seasons where I felt like the Lord was not speaking to me several years ago. And I came to Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches, and every one of those letters concludes with this commandment. Here's what it says. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, here are two things that I am convinced of with that statement. Number one, he that hath ears to hear, that is referring to a child of God. If you are saved, you have ears to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. You have the ability. Now, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that. But we have the mind of Christ. We have that ability. If you've been saved, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have the ability to hear God's voice. But the second thing that I believe about that is this. It is actually up to me whether or not to listen to what God is going to say. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so tonight, just a very short and brief message with this challenge. In the midst of the busyness of life, with all of the distractions where Satan is trying to keep you from listening to God, find some way to get alone in a quiet place, still your heart, listen to God, pray and read His Word. Early in the message, we looked at Genesis 3, the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Can I encourage you, start your day in a quiet place before God and listen. Be still and know that He is God. Amen.